Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's Theme Park Cast. This is a fortnightly show where we discuss all the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Luke, and this week we are talking about what we would keep, what we would enhance, and what we would remove from Disney's Animal Kingdom, and discuss the possible future of that theme park. But I don't want to do that alone. Just like theme parks, this show is better with friends. So please welcome the man who didn't realize he had sat on a pin in his Time Rover, and by the end of his ride on Dinosaur, he was a Megasaurus. It's my Review Time co-host, Dominic Lacey.
It was a sad day, a very difficult day to then walk around Animal Kingdom and with my Megasaur ass. That's edging on a
Parks After Dark? Well, speaking of that, I would like to give a quick shout out to our newest patron, Dylan, and to our long-term patrons, Ray Dredge, John Madison, and Michael Pinn, for access to exclusive content, including even raunchier stuff than Megasaur ass on our Adults Only Parks After Dark podcast. Be sure to check it out at patreon.com/reviewtime.
Luke, this week we're talking about something special.
Special episode.
We're going back in time a little bit, back to the early formative days of the Review Time theme park cast. I can't remember what episode it was exactly, but it was somewhere in the first 105, with this being podcast 105. So
I would say maybe in the first 100, because I don't remember it that well, so I don't think it was the last five. But to be fair, I don't remember what episode we did last week. So
there are things people will like send me messages or stuff that will be hinting to like an episode. I'm like, look, I got to be real with you. I forget about the episode after I finish recording the episode.
We have well over 100, probably 150 hours of podcast at this point.
It's an hour of Luke and Dom do vague improv around theme parks.
Yeah.
It's getting vaguer.
Every week. But we did an old episode, which we called, it was our version of Kiss, Marry, Kill. I'm not going to say the raunchier version, but that was Keep, Enhance, and Remove. We're going to do our own version this week, but in a future episode, we would like to do a submitted version. So if you have three rides that you would like to hear us debate, one we should keep, one we should remove, and one we should enhance, go onto our Twitter. I've just put up a post. You can reply what the three rides are. But today, we're going to go around Animal Kingdom and do exactly that. Because Animal Kingdom is in the talks at the moment. Lots of rumors flying around about, will Indiana Jones come to Dino Land USA? Maybe what should be there instead? So instead of, you know, discussing what we think's going to come, let's walk around the park and discuss what we think should stay, what should completely be gone, never to be seen again, and what needs a little bit of love.
And we're going to try and keep this realistic. So when we say like enhance, we're not going to be like, all right. And so what I'd do is I'd get Expedition Everest and I'd add 18 of those just all around.
And they're all connected and it jumps between each one and lands on the next track.
And when you get off the final one, a man comes and gives you a massage, and it's really nice. Now, we're going to try and do what Disney does and use our foundations here, unless we demolish it.
This isn't blue sky. This isn't, you know, when we do Dom and Luke fix theme parks, sometimes we do a bit of blue sky. This is trying to think, trying to talk about what this park has, what this park needs, and what the future of this park may look like. But we don't know.
We're also not doing a Disney here. Everything that we talk about when we say we're going to enhance it will happen.
Yep. 100%. Because no what if Marvel what if theme park edition here.
This is one of the problems. I think I was talking to you earlier about this, where it's like when you say Animal Kingdom is in the works, part of it is because Disney are like, hey, we're going to enhance Animal Kingdom. And everyone's like, ooh, what does that mean? And they're like, here's some concept art. We're not committing to any of this.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay.
Come back next year when we'll show you a completely different piece of concept art that has none of the same theme or intellectual properties in it, but it's the same piece of land.
It makes it hard to get excited about things because it reminds me about the 90s, like the early 2000s when Disney was just doing that thing where they're like, this is happening. And then nothing would come from it. It just
the Disney decade was like 2 years of good and 8 years of panic, essentially.
Something I always forget.
This park is kind of a product, shall we say, of the Disney decade or Disney in the 90s. His park opened up in 1998 with the dreaded name Half Day Park.
Oh, no.
Which, when you think about it, even today, if you want to take, like, if you've got enough time, you can, like, take things easy and enjoy this park. You can fill up a whole day here because it closes really early most of the time. But if you just want to get in, do the rides, do the shows you need to see, grab a bite to eat, I would say it's kind of still a two-third day park.
I disagree with a lot of people when they say that Animal Kingdom is a half-day park. I think what people expect when they say that is they're kind of people who have already been to the park before. And so it's like, well, I don't need to do X and I don't need to do Y and all that, which is completely fair. If a park's not good to do on a repeat visit, then that's a fair criticism.
But it's a different issue than being like, you couldn't fill a whole day here.
Yeah, because what people forget is that Animal Kingdom wasn't really designed to be a theme park. We can't get into the day. It's not a zoo.
Not a zoo.
As they liked in their promotional material. But it's also, like, it wasn't designed to just be a theme park either. It was during that era where, very similar to Hollywood Studios, they're like, this is theme park adjacent. It's got theme parky things. It's a place that you can go in, you pay a ticket price. It's very similar to Epcot or the Magic Kingdom, but it's got a purpose. And that purpose is to teach you more about, you know, animals and stuff and just to look at them. And in fairness, if you're willing to look at animals, then that could be a whole day. You could, that's on you. Like, there's no limit.
This era of Disney is very much Disney looking not so much inwards, but Disney looking outwards and going, okay, what are people doing instead of coming to Disney theme parks? Oh, they're going to Universal Studios? Well, no, we're going to build our own studio theme park. Oh, they're going to a zoo or Busch Gardens? No, we're going to build our own zoo / Busch Gardens. Oh, they're going to the beach after they go to Walt Disney World? Well, we're going to create an entire cruise line so people go to the beach we take them to.
In fairness, in Epcot, they were also like, oh, people are going to Kennedy Space Center? Then we'll send people to space.
Yeah. So it makes, like, you know, it makes sense. I would, Disney's Animal Kingdom is a really weird theme park for me to discuss because in 2015, this is pre-Pandora. It is easily the park I visited the least when I lived in Orlando, but it didn't have Pandora. So it was, for someone who lived there, it was the definition of a half-day park. When my family came to visit me from Australia when I lived over there, we did only spend half a day here.
That was the classic first time.
And we still did everything. We did Festival of the Lion King. We did Kilimanjaro Safaris. We did Expedition Everest. We did the walks. But outside of that, we did Dinosaur. There wasn't much else of a much do. And we're at the stage where myself and my sister would ride the Everest and such whilst my parents would go walk like the Jungle Trek, for example. So it worked out really well in that case. But when they only had five park days, by halfway through this day, they're like, oh, you want to go back to Epcot? And we did.
And as well, it's a much easier sell to be like, well, let's finish our park, our day at a park that's open until 10 o'clock, midnight, has entertainment until then. You're just extending your offerings. I don't know many people these days who will be like, I'm going to start and finish my day at Animal Kingdom and not go to another place.
Yeah. Like, unless you don't have Park Hopper. That's the only reason. And even then, if you didn't have Park Hopper, a lot of people, I reckon, are probably going to end up at Disney Springs. at the end, which is a shame because you'll miss the bioluminescent forest of Pandora, but that's only for like, even when I was there, it was busy. It was really busy. Mm. It was like 2-3 hours for Flight of Passage, and the park was open for like 40 minutes after it got dark.
I was just going to mention this about Disney Springs, because I'm like, I feel this park exists so that people have a reason to go to Disney Springs, because it's like it closes at like 5 or 6 o'clock, and then it's like, okay, what are we going to do for the rest of the day? We don't have park hopper, or we don't want to use the ticket on another park or something like that. Well, let's go to Disney Springs. I should have a direct way to get there. Disney Springs is kind of annoying to get to, but we're also not really talking about Disney Springs today, because we're talking about Animal Kingdom, and we're going to go through and enhance it. We're going to start going through the lands, and then we'll kind of break it down into major attractions as well. We're trying this in this version so that we know whether it's too much to do like an entire park in one go.
Because some of these are just going to be like, keep it. It's great. Moving on.
Yeah. But there are other things where it's like, we can change it up. First thing, the entrance needs to be all Rainforest Cafe. Get rid of the entrance, make a bigger Rainforest Cafe.
I always forget that Rainforest Cafe is there. And they, do you remember when they first opened it and they were like, end? The Rainforest Cafe has an exclusive entry into Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, which is a pathway that takes you 4 steps away from the main entrance. Like, it's not really exclusive, is it?
I forget that it's here, and I always, when I think of Rainforest Cafe, I think of the volcano at Disney Springs. And then remember, that's not Rainforest Cafe. That's T-Rex. Completely different.
No, the volcano's Rainforest Cafe.
I thought it was T-Rex.
Nah, T-Rex is like, it looks very similar. But the one that actually breathes fire, that is Rainforest Cafe.
Then where's T-Rex?
T-Rex is near the parking structure, near World. It's closer to World of Disney.
What's it look like?
A big rock, essentially, very similar.
Oh,
that's the only T-Rex cafe in the world, and it's owned by the same people that own Rainforest Cafe. It's also where I went for my birthday when I lived in Orlando. T-Rex cafe, good, good, good.
No, I'm sorry. I can't fathom. Oh!
You can sit down by the water at Rainforest Cafe. They have like a volcano bar or a lava bar or something like that, it's called.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, wonderful.
T-Rex just kind of looks like a rock, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a big T-Rex out the front as well.
Yeah, it's like it's been excavated. Bring the T-Rex Cafe to Dinoland USA. Then they can have both versions.
So Disney property has two of these Rainforest cafes.
Yeah.
I was joking, by the way. Don't actually demolish the entrance. You need somewhere to get in the park. And I also do forget.
Confused walking around. But I think, the Rainforest Cafe, interestingly, is the same company that owns like the random one sit-down restaurant in this park in the Asia land. Yak and Yeti. Yeah, it's like the same company. I don't know what happened when they were building this park. And they're like, please, somebody take two restaurants off our hand. We can't deal with it.
Please, take Yak and Yeti. No one wants to go to Yak and Yeti.
Which, let's start. Rainforest Cafe, I don't care. Get rid of it. Unless it's popular.
I was going to say keep it. It's harmless.
To me, if I want to go Rainforest Cafe, I'd rather go to Disney Springs. Because when I'm done, I can walk around Disney Springs. I'm not going to...
Oh, yeah, true.
Like Animal Kingdom. Maybe for breakfast. It might be a good place to grab breakfast before your day. But I just don't really understand who this one is for. If you want breakfast, most people are just going to grab Starbucks or something quick in the middle of the day. And then at the end of the day, people are going to want to go maybe to Disney Springs, like we're talking about, or to another theme park. So this one seems weird. I don't know who it's for.
It's in a weird spot, and I just don't know who's going to go, all right, I want some lunch or I want some dinner. Let's go back to the entrance, which is like a 20-minute walk away from everything, go have our dinner and then walk 20 minutes back.
Back to the, yeah.
I feel like most people, when they're at a theme park, they're like, I'm hungry. They scan around and just look for the nearest thing. Or that's just me. I just kind of go, what's closest to me?
I think there's two types of people. There's that, and then there's the people who plan everything they're going to eat using blogs, using videos, all of that. To like every bite of their day is planned out. And I don't think there's many people in between. Obviously making dining reservations, but if you're just looking around, and I'm pretty sure you can pretty much always walk into the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah. I didn't often see people going in there, even when I was there back in 2019. And as you said, I often forget about it because it is kind of off to the side and a little bit hidden by like the gift shop they have there. Like last
minute
gifts.
There's like some water or something. Oh yeah, that out, like the little outpost, which those must make money. But they sell the most generic merch, usually.
No, I think that's the point. It's that someone's leaving. They're like, I went to Walt Disney World and I didn't get Auntie Cheryl a shirt that literally just says Walt Disney World and nothing else. Like, but they never sell the things that you want. It's the things that you get for other people.
Yeah, magnets and generic t-shirts and ears and stuff. But yeah, I think Rainforest Cafe, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Rainforest Cafe.
It's kind of right near Pandora. Maybe we use that spot for a Pandora expansion.
I'm using a Disney park map here, but maybe I'm going to open up Google Maps.
Yeah, I have Google Maps too. And then we walk through the Oasis. I like the Oasis. I think it's cool. If you're not familiar, the original plan was there'd be no signposts or anything in this park. And the Oasis was meant to be your welcome to the park of exploration, where you wouldn't know where you were going. You would just kind of explore and see where it took you. And you kind of still get that feeling a little bit in the Oasis when you go and, oh, what's this little animal over here? What's this little cave system thing over here? So keep the Oasis, I reckon.
Keep the Oasis. I like the Oasis. It's kind of a nice start. As well as it's cool to enter a theme park and kind of have like a pre-show where it's like, ooh, this is a bit different, bit exotic. And then you get into the park and it very quickly opens up into
you get that nice
Island.
View when you hit the you hit that bridge and like you go across and you've got the Tree of Life sitting in front of you. And as you were saying, you go to Discovery Island, named after the island that the guy lived on during COVID, the old Disney Island. Which
the real.
Like, no one wants Discovery Islands because now we have Animal Kingdom. And let's just name this part. Discovery Island? It's fine.
This is an odd one. Because
it's the
for
Main
me,
Street USA of this park. Doesn't do anything else. It's just restaurants and shops. And that's pretty
I have a
characters.
Problem here in that it's like you've... So far, to get to this point, you've probably already walked like 5-10 minutes. It's going to be another 5-10 minutes before you get to an attraction.
Yeah.
Except for It's Tough to Be a Bug, but that's a film from the early 2000s. It's probably time to give that an enhancement.
Well, it is. It's being rethemed to a Zootopia film about the biomes.
Is that Blue Sky or is that and this is happening?
Apparently,
or do we just
that
not
was,
know anymore?
Apparently, that was an announced thing that is actually going to happen.
But okay.
Again, being about the biomes, fine, whatever. But Zootopia is not actually about animals. And if you think it is, maybe you need to watch that film a little bit closer. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Anyone who's like, bring Zootopia Land to Animal Kingdom. It's like, do you understand what this park is about? Or do you understand what that film was about? Because both of those things can't be true.
Joe
Rody still
said
that
it best.
Thought.
Where it's like, sure, Zootopia, it's got a zoo in the name. It's got animals. I guess it's got animals. But Animal Kingdom is about animal problems. Whereas Zootopia is about people problems. It's same as where you hear people say like, I'll bring a Black Panther to Animal Kingdom. And it's like,
no,
it's just got an animal in the name.
Yeah.
That movie has nothing to do with
animals.
Pants.
Wasn't that the rule?
Yeah.
The animals can't wear pants if it's going to be an animal kingdom. The CEO can't wear the Mickey hat. The animals can't wear pants. The two rules of the Eisner era of Disney.
Mm. So here's going to be my little enhancement.
Ooh,
I'm going to say Discovery Island. Let's give it an enhancement.
Mm,
I like the Discovery trails here. I like the like Main Street area.
They have that stinky flamingo pond.
And they go like, I think that's the sound flamingos make. I know that from Safari
sound.
Tycoon. I don't want to get rid of anything here, but I want to add something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and I think this might be controversial, but something like a Velocicoaster would go well behind the Tree of Life or like complementing around the island. I just feel like the era of cushy theme parks where it's like welcome to somewhere vibrant and nature-like and scenic. Whilst I love that kind of stuff, it's over. The scenic park is dead. It's now long live the thrills, long live coasters. Put down as much stuff as you absolutely can and make it as quick as possible.
Yeah. Speed around. Don't give them time to appreciate the theme. They're going too fast.
Mm. I feel like this maybe could go with like have a coaster or something around here. It's controversial because even saying it, it's like it destroys what Animal Kingdom is all about, but I just feel like it needs something else, like an external attraction, something that is seen more, that doesn't detract from the Tree of Life, but enhances it. It's kind of like the Mickey wheel.
Yeah, I guess it does
works.
Tough to be a bug, but this is one of the biggest blocks in a theme park that has no attractions, I would say.
Yeah, from the Oasis to Discovery Island, and it's tough to be a bug, is one of those attractions like Small World that you do because it's there.
You get the Megasaurus when you go on that ride when the big spike jabs you in the back. I've seen that once, that attraction. It's very unsettling. I don't like it. I've never been on it again.
When you told me that it like jabs you up the butt in that attraction, I was clenching the entire ride because I'm expecting like a proper like visceral sort of thump, like right on there, like you're like jumping off your seat. Are you gonna have to go to guest relations and ask them, you know, for a hug afterwards? But no, it's more just like a hem. But
it also depends on the seat. Some of them are like, would more aggressively stab you. Some of them would like not stab you at all. And I was, when I was on it, and I was like, what about the part we got stabbed? And the person I was with was like, what part where you got stabbed? And I was like, oh, I guess their version of that, like their seat just didn't have the butt poker. Mm. Or it had been, you know, lodged in some poor guest's butt and they walked out with the butt poker still stuck in them.
It's a free souvenir. I'm not
going to
say no
to
a free suit.
You know those auctions where everything gets sold for thousands? Yeah, that's going to be $10,000 at the next Van Eaton auction.
I would want nothing more than a piece of plastic that has been
shoved
near the rectum of 100,000
guests.
Do you reckon they have a tally of like how many rectums they've...
This is getting a bit Parks After Dark chatter.
Oh, yeah. What would you
check
do?
Check out Parks. I am in the opinion, I do feel that the theater inside the Tree of Life is a weird thing in itself. Even if you had the most popular film in there, you're not getting people into there because they don't realize it's a ride.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Spaceship Earth. Yeah, sure. It's big enough. It looks like something's going to be inside. The castle doesn't. It has a restaurant. It has that sort of stuff. The tree looks the least like a ride out of any of the icons at Walt Disney World. So why is it one of the only, you know, I guess three. The three of them do have rides inside because I always forget Tower of Terror is the icon. for Hollywood studios. But back when it was the tower, like the water tower, only two of the four had attractions within, and the tree looked the least likely, and it was one of the two.
It's almost like the perfect. I feel this area is all
right. If you put something too popular in, it has that issue, like too big, too much of a draw. It's got that issue. You shouldn't put something, you know, you're not going to put your most popular attraction in the hub.
Yeah.
Of Magic Kingdom. This is just the supersized hub.
Yeah.
So in that case, it kind of fits the bill, I think. I feel some of these places, like, is it here or is it somewhere else? There's a place, there's like a barbecue place. The food is good, but most of the seating is outside. That, I feel, we need some actual indoor seating. This park gets absurdly hot.
Yeah.
And I've heard it's like, you know, the barbecue place here is one of the highest rated, you know, grab and go places on Walt Disney World property. But Flame I don't want to sit in the sun and
Flame
eat.
Flame Tree Barbecue?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Hmm.
Yeah, also, there's about four shops that are all like split. And I think they all sell the same thing.
I do remember when I went.
There's no point for that.
It was like they were all kind of separated and each was kind of independent. And one was that classic thing that they do similar to Star Wars where it's like, oh, you get your Pandora merch outside of Pandora, and that's all like Pandora, the world of Avatar with all that. Whereas inside, it's all like, oh, Navi themed and different and exotic and all that, which I think is cool.
And half the same store, time, like, was it back when you were there, it was more new. Mine, it has slowly been dying out, but with half of the store, those stupid shoulder banshees.
Yeah.
Like a whole wall of them and no one was looking at them.
They're cute.
They're cool. But have you seen the new one at Universal? There's like a little Harry Potter owl, but it's an animatronic and it responds to your voice.
Aww.
Yeah. It's
That's
really
amazing.
Cool. It's like $100 though, so.
Oh, yeah.
$100 Australian. I don't know if it's that cool. One thing to definitely keep in this area before we move on is the Nomad Lounge. If you haven't been there, there's this cool little lounge attached to Tiffin's. It has some of the best, like, drinks I've had at Disney. Like, they taste like real drinks, not like sugary specials. They had some nice snacks, some nice cocktails. Really chill place to kind of break up the day. Expand that day if you're looking for something to just relax for an hour. Make the park the full day experience that it can be. Because this is the most relaxing Disney World park, I would say.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. Disney can be stressful. Sit and take a load off for a while.
Yeah. Speaking of cocktails, there is nothing more disappointing in a Disney park where you see, like, out the front, they've got a little placard of this really well-presented cocktail. It's got the garnish. It's got, like, the glass
cup.
It's
in the hurricane, big, tall, fancy glass.
Mm. And you're like, oh, I want that. And so you walk over and it's like, can I get it? And some disgruntled 16-year-old walks over to, like, a hose and just, like, goes... and then it's, like, in a cup. And that's it. That's all
it's
they do.
It's fully pre-made. It's, like, and it just tastes like pure sugar.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, thanks. I
and
guess
then they're
this
like,
is worth
$16, please.
Plus tip. It's like, oh, that's just a solid $30 for something that someone made 8 days ago in the backstage of Hollywood Studios.
Though you sometimes get the mega mix, which is when it seems to be towards the end and somehow or only alcohol is left. And you have like one sip and you're done. You need to go sit down for a while.
Stumbling around trying to stay alive in Animal Kingdom. I guess moving on from Nomad Lounge, because Discovery Island, it's got a lot of numbers on there. We have like 20 numbers if you go onto the Disney, the map. The new maps suck, by the way. Disney update them.
Agreed. But that's a change. That's an enhance for sure.
Of those 20 numbers, one of them is what I would call an attraction. Maybe two at a stretch. I guess three if you were to desperately call them attractions. Like, one of the numbered things is the Wilderness Explorers, which is basically where you get handed a book and then you go and find badges. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. It doesn't need a number.
Do you want to know the
map.
Real tell? And there's some things that aren't, you know, aren't attributing to this. But I think the real tell if something is an attraction or not, according to these park maps, is whether it has a defibrillator at the venue. Because, you know, tough to be a bug, defibrillator.
Oh.
But Wilderness Explorers and the trails, no defibrillator. Navi River Journey, Flight of Passage, confirmed defib, confirmed rides. Now, the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail does have a defib when the Discovery Island trails don't. So that means the Gorilla Falls one is much more exciting. There's that's an attraction, confirmed. The thing that kind of throws it is that Donald's Dining Safari at Tusker House Restaurant does have one as well. And it's kind of the only thing I would say isn't an attraction that does have a defib.
No, I know why it's got defib, and it's because when you look at the price, you're going to have a heart attack.
I know you're going to say if you go to a buffet at Disney and then as soon as you walk back out into the Floridian heat, that'll get you.
Where your glasses like foam up.
Oh.
As well, I'd like to say that Finding Nemo the musical has a defib as well. Oh. We'll get to that later because we have a couple of things to just go through.
Let's start
and say keep.
Somewhere where I think we're pretty safe. Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Demolished. It's all dreadful.
Bye. Okay, moving on. But no, the only thing I would say, Navi River Journey, give it a couple more animatronics. You know those wolves that kind of run across on a screen?
Mm.
Make those animatronics instead.
Yeah.
I actually really like Navi River Journey. I think the issue is because it's under Flight of Passage, people see the queue for Flight of Passage, see the Flight of Passage is 2 hours. Oh, but Navi River Journey is only an hour or 90 minutes. I'm going to ride that instead. People are going to be disappointed waiting 90 minutes for Navi River Journey, but I don't think people would be if they waited 2 hours for Avatar Flight of Passage. The expectation is bad, so just kind of pump the ride up a little bit so that expectation versus reality isn't quite as much a kick in the teeth.
This also has that classic problem with modern insular lands, where it's similar to Galaxy's Edge, where because it's such a walk and such a hike to get to these lands, if you go there, and as you were saying, that thing's busy, you're not just going to go then to another attraction. Mm. You're going to do it here, so...
To get to the next attraction from here would be a 10-minute walk, I reckon, to somewhere else in the park. And if you wanted to go to, like, Everest or something, it's 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And, like, think about places like Tomorrowland, where you've got Buzz across from Star Wars, across from Space Mountain, across from every now and then Michael Jackson, across from Autopia, across from the submarine voyage and all that. Like, you've got so much in that tiny little space, and then here you've got like two attractions. But I'm gonna say Pandora World of Avatar, keep it. Doesn't need an enhancement. It's very good. It's world class. It sets the standard.
You know, a third attraction related to the Way of Water could be neat. There is an expansion plot for this land that's currently a cast member car park that could easily be moved elsewhere off site. But it's not in the top three areas, in my opinion, that need the work, that need the love. So don't give it to them now. Which moves us across. We're going to walk past Festival of the Lion King. Keep. I think arguably that is one of the best shows on Walt Disney World property. One of the best Disney shows, I think.
Yes.
In any of their parks, I would say. I would say maybe this is probably in the top five.
We've had this conversation before.
Shows.
Still prefer the Hong Kong version. That's because I saw that first.
Yeah.
So.
And I prefer this. I would say, still say if the current operating Disney, like sit-down shows, this would easily be in the top five, I reckon, around the world.
However, so, that Disneyland one was really good.
Oh, yeah. So there was a show very similar to Festival of the Lion King, if you're not familiar. It was called like Tale of the Lion King or something very similar. But originally, I saw it the year before. On, you know, the stage that they set up out the front of the World of Color Lagoon.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. So I saw the show there, and it was a blisteringly hot day. And I'm standing in the sun, and I'm like, I don't care enough for this show to stand here in the sun. So I watched about 5 minutes and then was like, yeah, that was fine. But then when I watched it the next year with you, I was like, wow, this show is actually incredible. It just deserved a much better venue than baking in the sun. Because I was a guest wearing shorts and a t-shirt, just standing around, and it was too hot for me. The performers were wearing long clothes, full costumes, and singing their hearts out.
The venue can make the show a lot of the time.
Did you ever see Festival when it was in the tent mode?
No.
Yeah, I've only ever seen it in its permanent theater. But when pre-Avatar days, they used to have a tent version of this show. And it was in a temporary structure, even though it opened with the park.
Weird. Yeah, why was that? Just so that they had easy access?
Camp Mini Mickey. Remember when Pandora wasn't there? They had Camp Mini Mickey, which was designed as a temporary land to essentially be like, oh, no, this park is big. Trust us. And it was just like meet and greets in that show. But they were like, we're going to build Beastly Kingdom in a couple of years. So build the show as a tent. And then the tent version ran for like 15 years.
Oh.
Big Disney
bizarre, vibe. Yeah. I didn't know that. I've learned something today on the podcast.
It's always exciting to learn something new. But we're continuing around. We're already in Africa. This is... Would this be the biggest land? Do you count Kilimanjaro Safaris in the Africa land? I'm not sure.
Yes. Because I think it's similar to like Space Mountain is part of Tomorrowland.
How is that the good... why is that the example? That rides completely in Tomorrowland.
Exactly. See, it's sound logic.
I guess
I don't
it's
know
no
why.
Different to like Pirates of the Caribbean, where it starts in Adventureland, goes under the train into no man's land out the back. It's still in Adventureland. So Kilimanjaro is in Africa, even though this is the biggest theme park ride of all time.
This is like the reason why many people come to Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's probably the reason why as well so many people are like, it's a half day park, which translated is it's a half day park. part of that is because I feel like once you've done Kilimanjaro Safari, a lot of people who go to Disney parks seem to have this mentality of, especially with the big heavy hitter attractions, it's like, I never have to do that ever again.
Yeah.
That's dumb. And so they just kind of don't. And it's a 22-minute ride when they could be doing the 3-minute ride over at Expedition Everest. And but I really like this attraction.
Yeah,
and
I really love it.
I think it makes the park.
I think it has the issue and the risk, and there's no way to fix it, but it's real animals.
Mm.
So you could have an incredible run where you see almost every animal, they all are doing something interesting, and it's arguably one of the best, most unique rides in the world.
Mm.
You could then go 2 hours later and have a ride where you barely see anything, and the things that you do see are really far away and sitting on the ground.
And that's when you need a good host.
Yeah.
Because they keep it interesting, even when there's nothing happening.
Like, if you waited... Because this can get quite lengthy waits. If you waited like 90 minutes, 2 hours, and then had the latter version of those two rides, yeah, I could see why you would maybe skip it on subsequent visits to the park, not knowing, actually, this can be really good.
Sorry, I just want to quickly go back. Festival of the Lion King, I will say enhance, just add a back to the seats, please. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, bench seating. That doesn't... I think Nemo has real bench seat, backed benches, right?
Nemo is a proper theater, I think.
Yeah, I think it's still bench seating. Don't get us started on bench, but I think it has a back. Maybe.
I remember it being more comfortable.
Finding Nemo the musical.
Oh, I'm Australian. Yeah, the Beatles. Kilimanjaro Safari, I can't think of any practical way in which you could enhance it. Like, even if you
What about when they put that big light?
Yeah, the giant light.
I never rode the giant light version, sadly.
This is what Luke is talking about is the enhanced version.
I think everyone knows the giant light. No, you tell them.
There was this enhanced version. I still don't know whether they do it anymore. I think it was
the park's not open late enough now.
Yeah, the park closes at like 1 p.m. Because there's nothing to do after that point. All of the animals are asleep and so are the guests. But Discovery River used to have an attraction, which was at night. And this is where the world river. Coveted...
The Discovery... The river did have a ride. You mean safaris?
There's a venue in that river. If you look at it, it's actually two venues.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant... You were talking about Riverside. I thought we were talking about the light.
Why is this called the... Rivers of Light. Sorry. Okay. It's split up into multiple attractions. Rivers of Light was an attraction at Animal Kingdom that doesn't run anymore, which was meant to be their solution for the fact that everyone leaves this park in the midday.
Can't be a half-day park if there's a nighttime spec.
Exactly. And a big reason behind that isn't just because Disney wants you to experience something before you go home. It's because if you get people to stay in that park late, then that's another meal that people buy. That's more drinks. That's like more immersed people get. So they buy more merchandise. There's a reason why Disney likes having you there first thing in the day and incentivizes it and will keep you there until the last thing at night with a nighttime show. It's because they want to capture all of those meals. Unlike Australian theme parks that want to capture half a snack with their 4-hour operating days. So this, like what Luke was talking about with the giant light, was an enhancement of Kilimanjaro Safaris, where it was like meant to be a sunset version.
Eternal sunset or something like that.
And all it was this gigantic spotlight that went out across the savannah and gave everything like this orange glow. And from what I heard, everyone was like...
It didn't work, right? All the animals still went to bed. So it was like playing Where's Wally? But if the printer had a malfunction and just painted black ink across the entire page.
It did work and it didn't. Because animals still have a circadian rhythm, so they'll go to bed despite it being sun up or sundown or anything like that. And you can slightly adjust it, but I think most of what you would see is like gazelles, like herd animals and that.
The stuff that can just stay out all night.
Yeah.
Which, that never worked. Nighttime Animal Kingdom is a shame because Pandora is beautiful at night, and arguably that's the only time you should... You should visit if you want the full experience of the land, but... The only way I got to see it at night on my most recent visit was getting in the queue for Flight of Passage like 30 minutes before park close, because I knew it would take at least an hour from that point and that it would be actually pitch black by then.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the best part. As well, when you got out, you're like a little bit slower. It's like, I'm going to take my time.
I've done that before where it's like, I'm going to be the last person in the park. And then I got bored because I was like, wait, no, people can spend a lot of time. And Magic Kingdom doesn't close officially till like 90 minutes after park close. I can't be bothered sitting for that long.
I was close to the last person out of Hong Kong Disneyland once.
Oh, the last of like, five people.
Yeah, because everyone leaves really quickly. And then they started doing that thing where it's like
didn't
the first
announcement. Didn't they also close with the fireworks, that part?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah. It's weird when it's like you watch the fireworks and the way in which all the attractions would close was based off when the music would start. Because it closed the park, they would just play the music park-wide.
Yeah,
so you'd see the cast member out the front of like Mystic Manor just waiting there. And then you would hear the introduction music for the show. It'd be like dun 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 dun. Immediately they'd run over, close the attraction,
and they're like, yay, it's time to go home.
And then they would start funneling through the park. They did thankfully keep everything open until like exactly 8 o'clock, and you could get onto attractions then.
Bad parks. I don't like the parks that are like, well, we close at 8, so a 2-hour queue means I close this queue at 6.
Yeah. Or even earlier sometimes. Yeah. They'll be like 4:30. I think in Australia, it's not uncommon for our rides to start closing at like 4.
Yeah. On really busy days, I think some close at like 3.
Mm.
Which is insane, but not what we're talking about. So Africa, in this area, we've got Festival Lion King we talked about. We've got the safaris, which we talked about. And then we have the exploration trails, which is the gorilla one. This is the exploration trail. I only remember a single time because there was a baby gorilla. So the enhancement, always make sure there's a baby gorilla. It makes better memories for your guests.
Give the gorillas more avocados. That's a secret because aphrodisiacs. Yeah,
natural.
That's why millennials are so busy.
They have so many children, and almost every country doesn't have a aging population or anything.
No problem here. I can't think of any particular way to enhance it. I just keep it.
Yeah, I think the one that needs something, a little bit of something, is Rafiki's Planet Watch. Now, if you're not familiar, this is the one where you have to catch the weird train. The train kind of takes you past the backstage areas. And then when you get there, they have like a petting zoo and a drawing experience now.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to catch a train all the way out there to learn how to draw Pumbaa. You know, it's not worth my time.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's neat, it's different, but also, why is it so detached from the park? It's as if they went, like, we need a train.
It's like they wanted to show the backstage area, which is cool, but then we're like, oh, well, we couldn't, like, why not just have a train that shows you the backstage area and then just comes back?
Yeah, essentially the equivalent of Kilimanjaro Safari, but it's like, this is how we manage the park. Because this park also needs a lot of backstage because of animals.
Yeah. So why not move the backstage area's cool where they show you like if they're doing operations and stuff like that. But just move that area closer to the actual park, like it is at Busch Gardens Tampa, where it's just in the park itself. And then just make the train this kind of like, you could even, why not have two ways to do the safari? Why not make the train one way where you go a little bit through the savannah and then you go through the backstage areas as well? They go through the savannah first and be like, look at this cool. And then be like, and here's how the magic is made. And then go backstage and then come back. And then if you look, there is a monstrously big expansion plot next to this train track. It is huge. We're not going to talk about how we would fix it because we're not doing Luke and Dom fix theme parks. But as my quick, how would I fix it? I would not touch Dino Land. I would put something in this monstrously big plot of land that already exists.
Yeah.
It's already been cleared. It is it is 107,000 square meters
and full of stuff.
It's like 100 acres.
There's just a lot of stuff back there. Yeah. Just random stuff.
It's like containers and stuff. It definitely looks like something was going to go there at one point. Because there's pathways that look as if they're, you know, not for cars and stuff. Because they kind of weave and wove in a weird way. If someone knows what was at one point going to come here, it's behind Kali River Rapids and between Kali and Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's this huge plot of land. But we're not talking about that because there's nothing there. So we can't get rid of something that doesn't already exist, which means we're wandering over into the Asian-themed
area.
Wait,
what are we doing to Rafiki's? We're going to keep it? We're going to enhance it?
That's what
we're
I said. Train gets enhanced to be Savannah and backstage. And then Rafiki's Planet Watch gets pulled down into the actual park, which I feel would be an enhancement because people would actually go there.
Yeah.
Asia. So, Asia. First thing we'll talk about
is
Asia.
We have a few things in Asia.
Flights of Wonder. Oh, boy. What version was it last time you were there?
When I saw it, it was the version where it was Up, a Great Bird Adventure show.
Yeah, that was bad. I didn't see it. But I heard that was mid. That doesn't exist anymore. Time before I saw it, it was, I can't remember the show, but it had the name of the show, of like Feathered Friends, something like that. Mm. No, I think that might be the new one. But whatever the old one was called, where they had the actor play a fake like tour guide group. And I swear the character was just making fun of Brazilian tour groups. Oh. The character's name was like Iguana Joe. And he would like walk into the theater with like a flag and he'd be like, follow me, everyone. These are our seats right up the front. And then he'd like try and get people to move and stuff. And then he was like scared of birds, I think was the story. Maybe this was just the way this one guy played the character, because I only saw it once, I think. But I was like, is this guy just clearly poking fun at, you know, international tour groups at this stage with the flags and the like loud noise, clap, clap, clap?
I think there is still that like type an of adventure character. Explorers like, birds are scary. And then they have the classic things where they come out and it's like, no, birds aren't scary.
Birds,
and it's like,
are
I misunderstood.
Amazing. And they open their arms up and like three birds fly over people's heads to stay on the stick.
I really like birds. If you know me, you'll know how much I like birds. I don't think I've ever... When all the flamingos came out in Singapore, and for some reason, it's like, if I see too many birds at once, I like this thing happens
overload.
In my brain. Where I just... This water start coming out of my eyes, and it's real bad, and that happened once. Anyway.
Just one.
But I do remember this show being like, it felt more about the show than the actual birds themselves. And it seemed like a classic, like we have to tie in
IP. Well, they got, so that doesn't, the Doug and Up version doesn't exist anymore. They still have the Doug and Up kind of like the statues where they kind of look like Chinese dragons. You know, those two statues out the front, those still exist. But the show doesn't. It's now like Feathered Friends in Flight, and it's more similar to the original show. From what I understand, this is a third party who runs this show.
Really?
For some reason. And that's why the show never fully went. It's some weird thing. I can't remember exactly. There's something about that it being owned by a third party for some reason.
Unless
I can't
it's
remember
like
why.
In combination with a group, and the group's like... Or the keepers. Like, I think it's that thing where they keep on enhancing the show, but the actual, like, birds and the actual talent and that just remain the same. Because they
like
had that
the
classic
same
thing.
Tricks, yeah.
Yeah, where they would have the adventure explorer, and then they would have the actual person who's, like, an ornithologist or a keeper or something like that.
I know birds. And then there's, like, an act, like, the other guys, whoa, crazy. And then you could get unlucky because the other person would be like, this is a bird. I am not trained for stage.
The perfect show for me because I love the birds.
What would you do with this show? Do you feel it has its place still in Animal Kingdom?
Yes. I did forget about it. I think it's a difficult one because I didn't mind the aesthetic and the idea behind the Up version, but it had that classic thing where it was like, because you had two non-face characters on stage, it was just a bit awkward.
It comes off like a children's show, even if, you know, the rest of the content isn't. Especially when we do the interactive characters make such a difference, but they very rarely use them.
Hmm. And so I feel with this show, you can just go into it and be like, this is birds. I think that'd be completely fine. I just think if you are to bring back any sort of IP, just make sure it's integrated in such a way that doesn't absolutely grind the pace to a halt.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like its own story happening around the actual like presentation.
Like just make it integrated. If you're going to have a story, it has to be integrated with the birds, not feel like two completely different shows.
Yeah.
Which it wouldn't surprise me if they're like, Encanto, that kid who deals with the animals, now it's his bird show.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Wouldn't That's the thing that bothers
maybe
me.
Maybe the failure of one IP show will make them go, just leave it as it is.
Yeah. I find that one of the things with Disney is that these days they kind of do the easiest option. And people will suggest things like that where it's like, oh, just bring Encanto Boy out. And they're like, oh, why don't we think of that? Yeah. There we go. And just do something hard. Do the hard things.
That's a similar, like, when it's like the three new Disney cruise ships where it's like, oh, so you're making them Disney themed, but your IPs, there's some IPs that are exactly the same across these ships. Do you, you have a wealth of IPs, and it's like, nah, Lion King's in both, and then this is also in both. It's like, okay, whatever. Also in Asia, we have the Jungle Treks. I think that this is, I would say, unless there's a baby gorilla, this is the better, I would.
This one's really nice.
Yeah, the theming is beautiful. The, like, temple, the kind of, like, crumbling temple that the tigers are in, that's amazing. That is an Animal Kingdom special, that area. Like, presenting natural animals in a really themed and in beautiful environment, allowing you to get up close, learn about them, see them, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I really like this one. I'm just going to say keep it. I think all keep the trails, it's kind of like keep.
Something that does need a bit of work, in my opinion, is Kali River Rapids. Bad. It's boring. It's so boring. You go around like three corners, go down one drop, and that's it. Also, there's a part where the forest is on fire, but it's never explained.
Yeah.
Because it got rid of the story. No rides have stories. Weird. Remember, no, safaris used to be about poachers, and this was going to be about like illegal logging and stuff, and it just doesn't make sense because they got rid of half of the explanation.
Well, people complained in previews. They're like, I don't want to know about the actual problems.
No, I want fun.
I always forget about Kali River Rapids. It's one of those attractions that kind of just exists, and you're like walking through Animal Kingdom and you're like, oh yeah, that's here. River Rapids for me are fine at the best of the times. Like, I think the best one honestly has to be at Disney's California Adventure.
Yeah, that one's really good. Which I feel this really is nice, like, pace. We have Grizzly River Run at home.
Yeah.
It's like half the length for some reason. It literally dispatches from the station, goes up a lift hill, goes through the burnt down logged forest, down the drop, back to the station.
Meanders is the right word. It meanders around.
And it's just not, and it gets a long wait because it's a water ride in a park that is ungodly hot a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it gets a wait that it isn't worth waiting for, essentially. How to enhance it? Just make it a bit longer, I guess.
Yeah. I would redo the track. So I think part of it is that when you have a story, it kind of needs that pace in which you're going slow enough that you can take in the scenery. Mm-hmm. And when they took that away, it took a very large element of the show from the attraction. And so if you were to go back through and redo that track and just make it, you know, a bit taller, a bit more rapids-like, so it's less of a scenic journey with a story and you're trying to be told things, and more of just like a, this is how turbulent the jungle can be. Yeah.
Which is that, I think that'd be completely fine. Grizzly River Run doesn't try to tell a story.
Yeah.
It's just a good, nice, long length, good quality rapids ride.
Mm. So, yeah, enhance.
Enhance. Make
a bit longer.
Which I think easy one coming up next as well, which is Expedition Everest. The easiest enhance of all time.
Bring back the Yeti.
Exactly. Then the rumor is Joe Rohde is back as a... What's that person? It's like, no, you don't fully work for us.
Consultant?
Yeah, a consultant. So apparently, rumor is that he's back as a consultant. So he's finally back. He's fixing the Yeti, baby. And it's not like, well, wasn't that the thing where they're like, oh, we'll fix the Yeti after we finish Avatar. We can't close down the most popular ride in the park. Okay, we still don't have anywhere near enough attractions. So we'll do it at a different point.
apparently what I've heard is that, like, for them to fix it, they literally need to cut a hole in the structure so that they can lift it out, redo it, and then put it back in. Because it was physically tearing it down, which is insane.
Yeah, it's scary. But yeah, fix it, please. Maybe.
Please.
I love that ride. No more Disco Yeti. As it is. So I can only imagine how much I would love it if it was, you know, back in the good old version.
The good old days. I guess now we move over to the problem child of the park.
Yeah, the one that, well, maybe, we don't know, but the one that plenty of rumors are saying is going to be the one that gets changed, enhanced, I don't know what it's going to be, whatever that you call it, Dinoland USA. And of course, the first thing, most dinosaur-y of them all, is the Theater in the Wild, where Finding Nemo, the Big Blue, and Beyond plays. A much worse version of the show than originally opened.
Technically in Dinoland USA.
Yeah, weird. And every show they've had here has not been a good fit for the land, because they had a Tarzan show and they had a Jungle Cruise show, a Jungle Book show.
Isn't this written by the same people who wrote Frozen?
Yes.
That's like my favorite fun fact.
The Lopez's, like, yeah.
Yeah, and this was like their first thing they had ever done, like their first musical.
Can you imagine like seeing this show, which is fun. It's all right. It's something. You know, taking a film that was never intended to be a musical and turning it into a musical and getting something of an okay show. Good on them. But it's not to me where it's like, I guess Disney didn't know Frozen was going to be good, but it seems weird to be like, let's trust you with what's going to become our largest franchise in decades.
It's kind of like going from if Michelangelo did a child's napkin drawing. No, the artist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If he drew like on a napkin and like some stick figures and then went, the Pope came up and was like, yeah, that man there, I can see a bright future in him. And then the next thing he did was,
we have the job for you.
The Sistine Chapel. Like, they made a good call with them. And in fairness, like, a lot of the music is okay.
Yeah. It has that feel. Film musicals and stage musicals have different sounds in the songs and stuff. They have different, you know, feels to the music. And a lot of that has to do with just the different medium and, you know, what close-ups do compared to what long shots, like, you know, sitting in a theater does. It allows for different things. But this feels like a film musical on stage.
Yeah. It's very weird. That's one of the things I find.
I don't hate it. But I can't tell if I kind of like it because it's so bad it's good, or it's actually kind of good. I genuinely am unable to separate myself enough to know if I only like it because it's a meme.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't know whether I actually enjoy this or whether... Well, it's even more interesting now because they changed it.
The new show, I agree, is bad. The new show is spoon-feeding, or our audiences are dumb and can't pay attention version, because they've given it this weird framing device where the tank gang is telling the story, and then the scene happens that they've just talked about, and then it goes back to the tank gang, and it's like, hey, remember when your dad, Marlin, swam with the turtles? And then,
oh, yeah.
Whoa, hey, dude, I'm Crush, and then it just does the Crush scene from the original show. It's like, just do the show. It's 40 minutes. Everyone's seen Finding Nemo. They don't need a group of, you know, Greek theater narrators to tell us the story.
We are the muses.
I don't know. Just bring back the old version is an enhancement, but I think the old version was more expensive, and that's the real reason they got rid of it, from what I understand.
More equity performers.
Yep, and I think they don't do the flying anymore, or they do less flying or something like that, and that's one way they've cut the budget.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would say the same thing. Like, bring back the old show, but keep it. Like, it doesn't need to be demolished.
Yeah. So let's move on to the Dino Land USA, which we can split into two areas. We have the dinosaur area with the ride Dinosaur. That's kind of your, you've got your high class upper area where this is where we study the dinosaurs. This is where we present our findings. And then we've got the Restauranosaurus and the Boneyard, which is like the cowboy Wild West. And then, of course, we have Dinorama, the worst part. And the part that even Disney realizes is bad because they closed the two coasters that were in this and have just let the area rot instead of replacing it. Even though they closed it like 5 years ago or something at this point.
I don't know why they did that because it was very strange.
I think there was meant to have an update much sooner than it has, and then they maybe pushed a lot of the focus to Epcot instead, would be my guess. But I'm going to say something edgy.
Yeah.
Keep the Dino Land USA, keep the whole thing. Mm. Except Dinorama. And here's my idea. Imagine Mystic Manor, but instead of collecting random stuff, he collects fossils of dinosaurs. And then the fossils come to life from some way, and you get to see like the fossils running amok in his house.
Like that it's would essentially fit in that area. The exact same thing, but instead of it just being like exotic artifacts and that, he's it's like
dinosaur like skeletons and you different.
You wouldn't need to change much. You just need to change like Lord Henry to have like an explorer outfit. Yeah. Like
make him part of society. He can fit very easily in the society of explorers and adventurers. There's plenty of characters there that haven't been explored. And he could be the guy who, he's like a rich eccentric millionaire. He's the person who funds the institute, the Dino Institute. He's the person who paid for the dig site, which is where, you know, Restaurantosaurus is based after that. That whole idea of they're paying for like the college students to come. Mm. And then there you go. You got a world-class dark ride in a park that definitely needs more. And then you've got a kind of family-friendly dark ride next to your thrilling dark ride of Dinosaur.
It's kind of a, you could almost make it like Hammond adjacent from the Jurassic Park universe. So it's like, this isn't Richard Hammond. This is our original character.
Richard Ramond.
And they're the one who, yeah, as you were saying, like is funding all of this. They're bringing all the people in. It's their way to like get people excited about dinosaurs. You do that classic thing that they did with the Imagination Pavilion where it's like, people don't care about imagination anymore. You could be like, people just don't care about dinosaurs. So, yeah. I like Dinosaur as an attraction. I think it has that problem where they made Dinosaur with the sole purpose of being a cheaper Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
and that's really, it's reflected in the fact that many of the show scenes are just dark with fake trees all around.
Yeah, that needs plus. That needs the improvement, I feel. Because it's not just, it opened, I would argue, as a worse version of Indy, but it has not been upkept well enough either. So it's become an even worse version of Indy.
Mm.
Though Indy hasn't been upkept either, but that's a problem for another day.
Yeah. I don't mind the story of like going back in time to find a specific dinosaur. It's kind of weird when you think about it because it's like, why that dinosaur? Mm. Why are we doing this? What's the point of endangering our lives? Yeah,
which you could easily then tie it back into the other guy, and he's the one who sent you to find this specific, like it's the last dinosaur he's missing from his collection or something like that.
Mm.
Also, just for some context, the area of Mystic Manor is about half the size of Dinorama.
Oh.
Mystic Manor is tiny. You could easily fit it in this space.
Those trackless dark rides, you can fit them in just about anywhere. Like, you could make a brand new attraction, make it 5 minutes long using a trackless dark ride in that same space. It's one of the main benefits of it because you can go back and go forward and all that. I think with Dinosaur, I'd like to see a story update. I think most people have forgotten about the dinosaur film that's actually tied to. I think most people don't actually know that this is an IP attraction.
Yeah. Just bring back, like, go back, bring back Countdown to Extinction. Plus it all up, fix those dark spots, fix the dinosaur with his head sticking out the sparkle curtain like he's about to go on stage.
Hello!
And just give it the bit of love that it needs, because I think that the reason is because everyone thinks it's going, that they've just let this ride rot, which in turn has made people not enjoy it for the last 5, 6+ years. And it's feeding this vicious cycle of like, oh, it's bad, when it's just badly upkept.
Yeah. I do think this part of the park just doesn't get the money that it needs, because they're constantly like, we want to do something else with it.
We don't have any IP dinosaurs at the moment, so we're just going to ignore it. Genuinely, I think that's the reason.
I don't want this to be Encanto and Indy either.
Indy doesn't make sense to me.
Encanto.
Also, do you trust 2024 Disney to build a ride as incredible as 1990s Disney's Indiana Jones, still to this day one of the best dark rides in the world? No, they're not going to build it like that.
Though I mentioned this to you earlier in a private conversation, I was like, Disney has this thing at the moment where there is talent in Disney. Like, there's some good things happening. They produce some pretty spectacular stuff. Like, I think the fact of what's happening overseas, what we're seeing from like the Asian parks, is a reflection of the fact that they know what they're doing. I just think the executives of the US parks are kind of like, why would we spend money when we cannot spend money? And as well, like, you've got these executives who are going over to these other parks overseas where they're like, we will give you the money to make something like Fantasy Springs. And then they're coming back home and all of the auxiliary departments that help enhance Imagineering just seem to be so lacking in the US. Mm-hmm. Like, all the signage problems that we're seeing from third parties and all of that. Like, you're able to get these incredible stories and incredible ideas out the door, but then it's like, once it gets to core execution, like Space 220 is a great example of it. It's like, the idea, great, the technology, great, then it's just a cafeteria in space.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that auxiliary component to Imagineering, the stuff where they had people who, it's like, their whole job was copywriting, their whole job was graphic design, and
you know, one of the most known people in Imagineering, Marty Sklar, was essentially a writer, and that's what he specialized in. And you know, you can tell from it, he started out by writing Walt's scripts for like opening day and stuff like that. Nowadays they would just, they wouldn't have a person doing that job.
ChatGPT.
A ChatGPT or somebody who's contracted who doesn't actually work for the company.
Those things
understand
where
the values.
I've seen some stuff in the parks where it's very much hinted towards that no human wrote that because it's just things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be a really interesting phase when we get to the point where they are working with third parties and people who are paid for a result, not a quality result. So it becomes like false facts and just weird AI problems. I sound like a grumpy old man now. And like, bring
it
back the
issue.
Old Disney.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be an issue, I feel. And then I guess that leaves us with the last thing to talk about. The Boneyard area. There was meant to be a coaster there. Let's build a coaster there. It was meant to be a wooden coaster.
Oh, cool.
Called the Excavator or something like that.
Well, that could be your entrance to a coaster that then goes into a little bit of Discovery Island.
Yeah. True.
It'd be a good little weenie to get people over that way. And you could have it as like on it, like, almost similar to back in the day for Wonderland on our big wooden roller coaster. It had like turn left here to visit Wonderland.
Right.
You could have like a massive banner off it where it's like Dino Land USA. I agree that like getting rid of it doesn't make sense when there is a huge expansion plot.
That park
north.
Doesn't need like the same capacity, but in different rides. Unless Dinosaur is a 0-minute wait 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which it isn't.
Mm.
It can also eat about 2,600 guests an hour. So even in your best case scenario, you're closing it to build the same ride again. You're going to lose 2,600 guests an hour for 4 years to build a ride that's going to have 2,600 guests an hour come through it at the end of the day in a park that gets labeled a half-day park because it doesn't have enough attractions. You're not adding a new attraction. That's what the park really needs, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's going to be that problem where are people really going to Animal Kingdom because they're after those IPs? Like, one of the things for me is that I don't know anyone who has gone to Animal Kingdom because of Avatar. Like, they haven't just gone, oh my gosh, Animal Kingdom has Avatar. Yeah. It's not the same thing as Harry Potter. Yeah. And I think Disney thinks
it's
all of their IPs...
It's not getting people over the line. This probably is the least IP-heavy percentage park. I know Dinosaur is technically IP, but people don't care that it is. Like, it may as well not have an IP. Everest, non-IP. Kali River Rapids, non-IP. All the exploration trails, non-IP. The safaris, non-IP.
Mm.
And, like, the people still come to this park.
Mm.
I don't know. It just doesn't need it. And I feel, we don't know for sure, but the blue sky, what if kind of stuff doesn't make me super excited for the future of this park. But I hope I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I hope they do the park justice, because it is a good park. It's nice to be in. It's good vibes.
It's one of the most pleasant parks to be in. You know, just to vibe in. Don't even... What if, I guess this would be second to Epcot to me in the park at Walt Disney World I could spend the most time in, not ride a single ride, and still have an incredible time.
Which I feel has to do with, like, guest accessible areas.
Yeah.
Like, Epcot
Fun
can fit a lot
explore.
Of people. But Epcot is a massive. Mm. Like, you really feel it when things around the top part, the future world, start closing through the day, and then they start, sorry, world discovery and world nature.
Celebration
and world,
of world nature.
All of
mate,
those
that's
things.
Another episode for another, what are we going to get rid of Epcot? But I think that'll kind of wrap it up. If you, what was it, you can, the one thing right now you can get rid of, one thing you can keep exactly as is, and one thing you can plus up. What are they? Quick, rapid fire.
Oh, for Animal Kingdom?
Hmm.
For Epcot?
For Animal
you
Kingdom.
You go first, because no. I was looking
okay.
at Epcot.
The thing I'm getting rid of most at Animal Kingdom is Dino-Rama, the rest of it. It's half a land. Get rid of it. The thing I'm keeping exactly as is going to be Festival of the Lion King, baby, favorite show property for today. I probably have said another show is somewhere in this series. and the plus it up is going to be Dinosaur. I think it's an underrated attraction. Just needs a little bit of love.
Need some love. I can't argue with that. I'm going to go with that as well.
Hey, because, same three.
I was looking at Epcot.
Wait, if you do like this series,
I moved my map.
Because it's a rapid fire way to talk about a theme park, I feel. Mm. Otherwise, this Animal Kingdom could have been a 10-part series. Hey, who knows? In the future, one day it might be, but we're terrified to start another park series because it consumes our entire life, as Disney Sea did. But if you want to tell us that you liked this episode and you want to give us three rides, you would like us to keep one, remove another, and plus another up, you can do so on our joint Twitter account at Time Review. Or if you want to get in touch just with me, you can do so on my email. I'm luke@reviewtime.com.
I'm dumb@reviewtime.com.
You can get us both on email, hello@reviewtime.com, or on any of our other socials. We are just ReviewTime. One day we'll still get that. I think the inevitable death of Twitter will happen before we get back at ReviewTime. So
they recently did a thing where they were like, oh, we're releasing a whole bunch of like dead handles. They didn't release the ReviewTime one.
One day. Or someone's going to snipe it off us and use it to sell Bitcoin or something.
Like, oh, no.
Dumb and Luke love Bitcoin now. But that's going to do it.
It's eating away at us.
One day we'll get it back. Let us know what you thought about this. And join us on our Patreon for even more content. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.